Welcome to the Special Docs Consultants podcast series. This is Terry Bauer, and I'm CEO of Special Docs Consultants. Thank you for taking the time to be involved in this podcast. I'd like to introduce the other members of the podcast crew here, Dr. Pat Tokars, Dr. Jeff Puglisi, and Michael Friedlander. We're going to continue the conversation and talk about some before and after stories. I've talked to every one of our physicians, and I ask them all the same questions, and I get very similar answers. And Jeff mentioned it in a prior edition of the podcast that his life was saved. And I've heard that more than one time. What I've also heard is that the family life of the physician has improved. The patient care has improved. Readmissions to hospitals have gone down. Urgent care visits have gone down. Compliance with their medication regimens have gone up, and patients' health have been improved. The other thing I always ask our clients is, do you have any regrets? And every one of them has said to me, I do, which of course causes me a bit of pause. And I say, would you tell me what that is? And the regret is they should have done it sooner. Jeff, would you like to talk a little bit about your before and after?
Well, I think you stole my thunder on that, Terry, because that's okay. Because I always start a lot of my conversations about my transition in telling people that I'd really wish that I had made this decision about 3 to 4 years prior. There are many reasons why that wasn't the case, and I'm still extraordinarily happy that I did make the call and transition with my partners, Judy Shea and Steve Mickley. And perhaps it happened at the right time for me, because at the end of the day, I think that I'm a more seasoned doctor than I would have been 3 to 5 years earlier. And I think that helps patient care a lot. The relationships that I built with patients leading up to that allowed for me to transition a practice that knew a lot more about me. And I think that's critical when you are deciding to transition your practice. You are on stage. Your patients are evaluating you to determine if they want to pay X amount of dollars per year to have you as their private physician, to continue that relationship. And it's part of the reasons why it's difficult for a young physician within 5 years of getting out of their training to shift over to this model, because you really need to live life with your patients. You need to see them through some tough times. You need to be there sitting by the bedside when they're in the hospital, talking them through their illness. And I truly believe that that helped me tremendously. In terms of the before and after, I mean, there's no doubt that the before and after personally for me is a reawakening. This new practice not only has given me the opportunity to take better care of patients, but allow me to take better care of myself, to find interest in areas that I had been thinking about previously, in cardiovascular wellness and risk reduction, in trying to be a voice in the world of concierge medicine, to make sure that other physicians and patients and insurers and the government and anybody else who's willing to listen will take notice to the fact that this is a way you solve the healthcare crisis. If every physician shifted to concierge medicine, the first thing that's going to happen is every training program in this country is going to focus their time on primary care medicine instead of focusing their time on subspecialty care. And then you'll finally see primary care doctors, family doctors, internal medicine doctors leaving residency with hope rather than fear. Every doctor that comes out into a geriatrics practice or an internal medicine family practice is fearful that they're not going to be able to make ends meet. Why? Because the doctors that are training them, that are seeing 50 patients a day and not making ends meet, are the ones that are showing them that model. Now I'm teaching at my local hospital and giving the residents and students a reason for hope. And I truly believe that that's where we turn the system on its end.
Thank you. That was terrific. Michael, do you have a couple of comments?
Well, I vividly remember one of the first physicians that I was intimately involved with, his transition, called me just after he went live with his transition, and I'll never forget, there was noise in the background, and he said, Mike, I gotta tell you, he said, I'm on the train, I'm coming home, I'm gonna go to my son's soccer game, and I've never seen my son's soccer game. And that was very profound to me.
Pat?
Well, I think anyone who goes into one of the primary care specialties does it because they care about patients as individuals. They want to have a personal relationship with patients. And I just found that increasingly difficult as the pressures to have see more and more patients each day, therefore shorter visits. And I think the magic of concierge care is more time with the patients to build a much more robust doctor-patient relationship, more time for the nurses to do their job properly, less pressure on the receptionist. The whole staff experiences an incredible increased working environment and morale, and it's just much more fun to go to work knowing that your staff is happy rather than stressed out and ready to quit. But I'll never forget when I, at one of my first meetings on concierge care, and a woman came up to one of the people in the company and said, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for giving me my husband back and giving us our family back.
Thank you. That concludes the session on before and after stories. We'll be coming back with our next session on busting some of the myths and misconceptions in the marketplace.